Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, June the 11th. Coming up, the landlord of a pub in Margate is hoping the World Cup brings a boost to trade. And we'll hear from Gillingham's latest summer signing. But first today, a Kent mum whose son has a rare genetic condition affecting his mobility says it's ridiculous. She's been denied a blue badge. Two-year-old Ronnie, who lives in Paddockwood, has been diagnosed with Phelan-McDermid syndrome. It means he's unable to walk, crawl or roll, and they often need extra space to get him and his equipment out of the car. Well, reporter Ellie Hodgson has been chatting to Ronnie's mum, Charlotte Jenner.
I know that every parent, parking's difficult, but once you've found a space, that doesn't necessarily mean that's right for us, because I can't open my door to get him out of the car. So this was last year and I applied, and I was told, and then I got my no. And I thought, oh, okay, fine. But the kind of peak of hospital visits died down a little bit. So I thought, okay, fine, let's see how we can muddle on through. And then it was, as we were given this frame, I work full time, he goes to nursery, that I want to be able to take that equipment to the person's house that's looking after him, whether it's my mother-in-law's, whether it's my mum's, whether it's to nursery. I want to use it when we go out at the weekends and as part of our everyday life to make Ronnie independent. And I thought, well, how am I meant to transfer that about then? It's huge, so heavy. The weight of getting it in and out of my car is one battle, but then it's having the space to open my doors properly to get it out. So then I reapplied, or like I appealed it or something, and they said, okay, we need a medical letter. I thought, well, that won't be hard. I've got an entire wallet of medical letters and I have every single NHS avenue I could have. So I knew, well, that'll be easy. Contacted the local GP and within a day they were like, absolutely not a problem. Here's our recommendation letter. The recommendation from my doctor was almost like, without a shadow of a doubt, like, he's got this condition, it affects mobility, he is immobile, and he is very big for his age, very heavy for mum. So how, if the medical professionals that are supporting Ronnie's development, his mobility, saying he needs one, the council are telling me no? So I was absolutely seething, really emotional, that it feels like a battle to get equal accessibility for my child. Like, without one, I still face the problems today. I was late for my appointment yesterday because I can't find a space that I can get him out of. And that's not only like medical appointments, meaning then when I get to the appointment, I have less time to discuss Ronnie's condition and his support. With physiotherapy, there's been times where we've gone out and we've actually not been able to attend what we were invited for or what we went to go to because I can't find a safe space. And he's more important than whatever we were going to. So, but his safety, our safety, and it's just, well, it's just ridiculous.
Now, we've been in touch with Kent County Council and this is what their spokesperson said.
We understand the council's decision is disappointing. However, KCC must assess blue badge eligibility against the National Department for Transport guidance and legislation. This provides a very clear set of eligibility criteria for children under three, which was not met at initial assessment or appeal in this case. KCC considers all blue badge applications for children under three as special cases, but also has a responsibility to be fair and consistent when issuing blue badges. The presence or absence of any condition does not in itself determine badge eligibility at any age. In this case, the applicant was offered multiple assessments, including a face-to-face assessment, to ensure that all relevant information was considered, including observing how the family get about. The outcome of assessments are always communicated in writing with applicants. When children reach three, the eligibility guidance allows for a greater scope in assessing how children mobilise independently, and we advise that KCC is always happy to reassess children at this time. If the Department for Transport changes the eligibility criteria, KCC will follow this guidance.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and two men who steered small boats across the Channel to Kent have been jailed for a new offence of endangering others. 32-year-old Afghan national Mohammed Tajik was given 2 years, and Alnor Ali, who's 26 and from Sudan, was sentenced to 27 months at Canterbury Crown Court. The pair admitted piloting overcrowded craft, bringing people to the UK. It's been confirmed a hotel in Ashford will no longer be used to house asylum seekers. MP Sojan Joseph says people waiting for their refugee status to be confirmed also won't be housed at the Holiday Inn anymore. Labour say they've closed more than half of the asylum hotels opened during the Conservative government, saving millions of pounds. South East Water have agreed to double the amount of compensation for businesses in Tunbridge Wells affected by outages over the winter. Around 24,000 properties were impacted by a problem at the Pembury Treatment Works. £1.2 million will be paid out to make up for lost trading. Meantime, the Water Minister's told Kent MPs it's essential South East Water rebuilds trust ahead of an expected hot summer. Representatives from across the county have been speaking at a special session in Parliament about supply disruptions. The most recent happened during the May half term, which also saw record high temperatures. Emma Hardy says the company must ensure it doesn't happen again.
Being without water is always going to be very distressing, but particularly during a period of hot weather and during the school half term as well. And as has been mentioned, this is the third major outage affecting customers, and it is simply not acceptable. We've all agreed that it's important and right that the chair has resigned and the CEO has resigned. And I met with the interim chair of South East Water twice during this incident, and I was clear that what we need is a focus plan for this summer, because we're expecting the weather to be hot again this summer. We're expecting, therefore, people to increase the water that they're using, and they need to be working more closely with local partners and rebuild that trust. And that came up from members in this room, that trust is broken and needs restoring. It's good to hear from the Honourable Member for Tunbridge Wells that they had a positive meeting with the interim chair, and to rebuild trust is going to take a long time, but we're hoping that it's starting to show. And while weather can increase demands for water, of course it can, it increased demands, as mentioned, all around the country. But it is only one water company where an increased demand led to supply outage. And if we look at the longer term causes of this, a lot of this is the failure to invest efficiently in maintaining and strengthening their infrastructure. A reliable source of clean water is one of the fundamental foundations of a healthy, functioning society. And we're rightly proud. We have some of the safest drinking water in the whole world, but it's no good if it's failing to come out of the tap. So the situation demands bold action to deliver fundamental long-term reform, and that's exactly what I am trying to do. To try and answer as many questions as I can, the desalination plants, there are six desalination plants currently planned. They're largely in the south and southeast. So there's one specific one for Sizewell C to have a look at supplying the water they need. There's one plant currently in operation in the Thames area, but there's also desal plants planned for Norfolk, Lincolnshire, South Coast and on the East Coast as well. People are talking about what happens if the company continues to fail. Well, the ultimate action, if a company continues to fail, is to look at special administration. Of course, there's a high bar for special administration on performance grounds, and it requires a serious breach of principal duties or of an enforcement order such that it is inappropriate for the company to retain its licence. I want to be clear that this government is working with all water sector regulators to carefully monitor the performance of all water companies, and we stand ready to intervene should this be required to ensure the continued provision of a vital customer service.
Kent Online reports.
Several cars and a van have been smashed in a vandalism spree in New Ash Green. Police were called to the Millfield estate in the early hours of Monday. Fuel was also reportedly stolen from some vehicles and investigations ongoing. A court's heard how a mum used her child as a decoy to steal £150 worth of groceries from a co-op in Rochester. Sava Bakana went into the store at Riverside in March last year and filled two shopping baskets before distracting staff while her child walked out with them. The 38-year-old from Railway Street in Gillingham has been given a 12-month community order. She'll have to pay compensation and do 40 hours of unpaid work. Three men from Essex have been arrested after police were called to suspicious activity at an industrial estate in Ashford. People have been seen getting out of a car and approaching a lorry parked at the Cobbs Wood site just after midnight yesterday. The side of the vehicle had been damaged. A knife and balaclavas have been seized. Now, as we get ready for the start of the World Cup, a Kent pub boss says it'll be vital for the hospitality industry this summer. The tournament, which is being held in America, Mexico and Canada, gets underway tonight. England's first game is against Croatia next Wednesday in a 9 p.m. kickoff. I've been speaking to Tony Palmer, who owns the Lord Byron in Margate.
It's a little bit unfortunate that some of the games are going to be in the very early hours, and we're not actually 100% sure what we can show and what we can't as regards opening hours yet. But luckily, at least the first three games are sort of decent times, sort of 9, 10 o'clock in the evening. So they're absolutely fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, because of where it's based, it is a little bit tricky, isn't it? Do you think people are still going to come out at that time of night to watch the games?
Oh, honestly, if I'm allowed to stay open, I mean, I'm quite lucky. We are obviously completely residential. We're smack bang in the middle of a terrace row of houses. But we're licensed till 1 a.m, believe it or not. And in the 9 years I've been here, I've literally not had one single noise complaint. All my customers are regulars. You know, they all know, they all live in the local area. So they all know sort of what to expect and how to behave. So I don't think it'd be a problem. I don't think many people would stay out at sort of 3-4 in the morning for games, and I wouldn't expect us to get the licensing hours. But, you know, what 1 o'clock to 1:30 should be absolutely fine.
And how important are these sorts of tournaments in bringing the community together and going to pubs like yours? But also, how important is it for your industry at the moment? Because you've had a bit of a tough time of it, haven't you?
Yeah, to be fair, obviously the cost of living at the moment, you know, nationally, everyone's struggling. But when you can actually put an event on, whether it be, you know, a big football match, a live event, you know, a live band, people do show up. I just think they choose sort of a little bit tighter pockets. They choose what they can and can't do. And honestly, an event like this, it brings everyone out. I mean, we're quite lucky. We are a very diverse pub anyway. We get people coming here because of the Airbnbs I have on site. You know, I get people coming from all around the country, even different countries, staying, especially for Dreamland events. So we do see a lot of new faces and a very big, diverse audience, which is great when you've got so many countries in the World Cup, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you do anything special? Do you deck the pub out? Do you have the flags and the bunting out?
But I've got a graffiti artist coming down. I've got a massive drop-back wall. My main wall in my pub, I had decorated on the first year we were here for a big Peaky Blinders event, and it's really stayed. It's stunning. But he's coming to revamp that into a massive memorial for the World Cup. And we're looking to get the sort of top 12, 13 players and the teams as a big drop back in the pub, as the graffiti artists have been doing in Margate for different events.
Oh, fantastic. I was going to say, who's it going to have? But it's going to have a mixture of all of the teams, not just England.
Yeah, I want to try and get, you know, the big names, you know, the big stars and the players that are, you know, in the in-game now. You know, Harry Kane's a big part of the England squad. You've got Mbappe that scored a hat-trick, obviously, in the last World Cup. It'd be great to see him again. But you've got a lot of big names. Messi, Ronaldo are still playing at their age. So, it's going to be a really good mixture. And obviously, there's a lot of outsider teams in this competition. It'd be good to see how they And they come up against the big teams.
Meantime, the people who run the ambulance service in Kent say they're expecting a big increase in demand during the World Cup and a predicted hot summer. SeaCam say they dealt with 3,500 emergency calls each day during the recent heatwave. We're being urged to use the service properly and dial 111 or contact a pharmacy for more minor conditions.
Kent Online reports.
Work to revamp a major junction near Sittingbourne is set to finish this month. There have been regular delays on the A249 since the Grovehurst roundabout project started in September 2023. It was supposed to take 9 months, but there have been various setbacks. Bosses say the upgrades will help roads cope with thousands of new houses being built. A first aid instructor from Ramsgate who suffered a heart attack at just 41 has been reunited with the ambulance team who helped him. Michael Gorf started to feel unwell while at home with his partner and three-year-old twins in March. He was rushed to hospital and had emergency surgery to insert stents and treat a blocked artery. And a Kent man who spent 3 years fostering dogs has been telling us how rewarding it is. Frank Atkinson has looked after a total of 30 since signing up with the Dogs Trust in Canterbury. He's been telling Lucy how he got involved in the process.
We've had dogs all of my life. So the last two dogs lasted 14 years each, so 26 years of dogs. At that point, kids are gone. We were looking to do a bit more travelling, so taking on a dog for another 14, 15 years didn't seem practical. Although, you know, even if we go away a few months of the year, that still leaves a big chunk of the year that we could provide a home for a dog. And that's really why I did it. I had a few health problems and needed to up my exercise levels a little bit. So a dog's ideal for that as well.
How rewarding is it giving a home to these dogs while they search for their forever home?
Hugely rewarding. They come in various states of, mental health and physical health. You know, some of them have got bad physical problems, but a lot of them are scared, anxious, and really worried. And for me to turn that around with them usually takes 48 hours of being very, very patient with these animals that you don't really know what they've gone through. I mean, the trust try and tell me as much as they can, but sometimes they don't know. And then at the output of that, to have a little video sent to me from its forever home of it running around and living its best life. That's where I get the enjoyment from. I've fostered 30 dogs now, and every one of them has gone to a forever home. I mean, mostly down to the work of the people at the trust. But, I think the home from home system helps dogs that may not have even lived in a home before, adjust before they go out into meeting people and living in a home in a, hopefully in a civilised manner.
The Dogs Trust have praised work done by all of their volunteers.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham have announced another summer signing. Striker Will Goodwin is joining on a two-year deal. He's previously played for Stoke City, Cheltenham Town and Oxford United. The 24-year-old's been chatting to the club's media rep and told fans why he chose the Gills following reports of interest from other League Two sides.
I think after speaking to the manager, all the coaching staff, people that work here, it seemed like a great club, and the manager's philosophies and his playing style, I think, suits me to a T. So, really excited to play here and play under this manager.
How would you describe yourself as a player? For those who haven't seen you play, what are your best attributes in your opinion?
I think attacking crosses in the box. I like to get in the box, and after speaking to the manager, that's what he likes his wingers, his fullbacks doing. So that seemed like it was a great move for me to come in here and use my best attributes, which is attacking crosses, touches in the box, setting players for first time shots, that sort of number nine.
At what point, if you haven't already, do you start to get itchy feet and say, look, I want to get back on the grass now, let's get started?
Yeah, I think I've had my holidays already this summer, so I'm back in the gym, running on the tarmac, and pictures where you can find them. So I think now really I'm ready within the next week or two to get back in, because you can only run on your own for so long and you get bored. So, yeah, as soon as possible, really.
Just finally, how eager and excited are you to get going now? I think the back first week of July. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, really excited to get going, moving into the area. And I'll be ready.
Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.